Last week, President Obama welcomed leaders of the 565 federally recognized Native American tribes to Washington for the second Tribal Nations Conference. The conference covered a wide range of social, economic, and political issues that affect Native peoples, including crime, large numbers of high school dropouts, and high rates of heart disease, diabetes, and alcoholism. In a moment, we'll talk with James Ramos, the chairman of the San Manuel Band of Mission Indians in California. We'd like to hear from Native Americans in the audience on how the relationship between the tribes and the federal government has changed. 800-989-8255 is our phone number. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. James Ramos joins us now by phone from the San Manuel Reservation in Highland, California. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be a guest on the show.
Well, Barack Obama campaigned for president on a promise to give Native Americans a more prominent voice. There have been two of these conferences now. Did they accomplish much?
Certainly, I believe so. The first conference we had last year talked about setting the program together, what it is we needed to achieve. And throughout this year, we've seen the president sign into law the Law and Order, Tribal Law and Order Act, as well as health care. That we've actually been pushing for, the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, and also helped us for tribes that provide benefits to their members, where the IRS was saying that was taxable, to actually sign into law during that time, also to make sure the IRS understands that those benefits are not taxable to Indian people. So I think the president has kept his word as far as moving forward with the Native American issues throughout the nation.
Native Americans are hardly a monolith. There would be people, I assume, who would disagree with you on that and say there's much more that needs to be done.
Oh, there still is a lot that needs to be done. But at least now we have a president of the United States that's actually recognizing the voice of the Indian people to move these things forward. No, there's a lot that needs to be done. This is just the beginning, the tipping of the iceberg, as far as listening to what Indian country is saying, what it is that we need. What President Obama has done is put the high-level secretaries in that perspective to listen to the Indian people. It's not so much as what they're designing for Indian people to react on the reservations, but now it's what we're saying we need on the reservations and giving it to the government, saying, hey, this is what we need. Listen to us, and so that you could actually develop a plan. That's exactly what's gone on with this Law and Order Act. I mean, last year's summit, the number one issue was law and order on Indian reservation lands throughout the nation. And the president came through in signing this legislation. Now, it doesn't fix everything, but it's actually a step in the right direction. For years, tribal communities have been asking for these types of things to move forward, or just to hear the voice of Indian people. And I believe that's what's moving forward.
Give us an idea of what this conference was like. Was the president there? You mentioned members of the cabinet. Were they just making speeches, or what was it like?
No, this year was a little different than last year. Last year, when we actually went into that forum in the Department of the Interior, all the secretaries were there, and we were able to ask questions in like a town hall meeting setting. But this year, what happened was the day prior to that, there was town hall meetings taking place, and one of those that I was involved in was with the Secretary of Education, Mr. Duncan, who actually had a town hall meeting and had Indian representatives come forward with the questions that are moving forward. And one thing that came to light was that over 90 to 94% of Indian people now are going through the public education system. And so, you know, when that starts to happen, how are you going to deal with Indian kids in the public school system? And number one, you have to really look at the culture, the history, as far as moving that forward. Now, that does not minimize the importance of the Bureau of Indian Education, because still in pockets of the United States, that's the only educational system and the outreach to Indian communities. But on an average, 90 to 94% of Indian kids now are attending public school. But I know there's areas out there where those percentages do not reflect the actual local community. So we still need to fight hard to make sure the Bureau of Indian Education gets the funds that they need. But at the same time, now the Secretary of Education, Mr. Duncan, is really putting on these different consultations throughout the United States, finding out how to really work with the Indian people to make sure that moves forward. And one thing that was discussed is actually really talking about the culture and history, because we know that how America tries to pan-Americanize all Indian people into one setting, as far as everybody use the same housing, the different music and things, that every state has its own unique culture. So we have to work on that and to make sure that mutual respect and mutual understanding of what happened in the past is actually brought to the forefront before we could actually start to move forward and build on that mutual respect.
As I understand it, the San Manuel Indians are doing relatively well with gaming and other enterprises. I wonder, though, what particular challenges you think your tribe faces?
Well, I think one thing that we do, and is not just talk about just our tribe. We talk about really what's facing all California Indian people and all Indian people in the United States. And I think it's time that leaders, if we do have the political ear of those in Sacramento, those throughout the different states and in the nation, that we need to make sure that we bring to the forefront the issues that are really facing our people. There's far more issues that we could agree on, like health care, education, Department of Justice, and these types of things that move Indian people forward, because when the gaming era has come and gone, these are the things that are going to still be here. And what did we do during this era to move all of our people forward? And one of those things that we talked about within that educational forum was actually working through the Bureau of Indian Education with a local Indian high school here in Riverside County, Sherman Indian High School. We were able to contribute some monetary supplement to a program that actually moves forward technical trade. And I think these are the types of relationships that need to be formed. I mean, we could keep coming together and say this is what needs to be done, but I think that now it's time for Indian tribes and Indian governments that are in position to actually start providing solutions to the problems that could become models throughout the nation.
James Ramos is chairman of the San Manuel Band of Mission Indians with us from California. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. We want to hear from American Indian listeners today. What challenges do you face from the federal government? Jill's on the line calling from Grand Rapids in Michigan. Hello, Jill. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
To say that I was pretty flabbergasted when President George Bush was asked what tribal sovereignty was, and all he could say was that it meant to be sovereign. I think with Obama, things are looking a little better, but tribal sovereignty is something that I've fought very hard for. My tribe wasn't recognized, I don't think, until 1993 or 1994, and I'm so thankful for what they did. It really opened a lot of doors for me, and I was able to go to college, and
Well, which tribe is that, Jill?
Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawa Indians in Harbor Springs, Michigan.
And how many of them of you are there?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
Right.
No idea.
Jill, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks.
James Ramos, sovereignty issues seem to be eternal, and I know that one of the issues brought up was, some tribes had businesses that mail-ordered tax-free cigarettes around the country, because obviously the taxes are different on Indian reservations, but that had been prohibited by federal courts.
Yeah, and really what happened during that time with some of these cigarettes is that during that time people, and even on our reservation, we had smoke shops. But when it was challenged as far as being not legal, I guess, as far as collecting those taxes, we didn't have the means to actually equip lawyers to go to D.C. and fight for that right. Now you see a different era. You see an era of tribes being able to form coalitions to come together to fight for these rights, especially with the health care benefits. When tribes are able now to provide health care benefits for their members, and now for the IRS to be saying that was taxable, we formed a coalition, got together, went to D.C., and we were successful in making sure that was part of that whole health care plan that President Obama signed into law, that now recognizes that health care can be provided by tribal governments that will not be taxable by the IRS. But far more than that, too, the president announced that he was going to be signing the U.N. Declaration of Indigenous Rights. And that was something that's been far and coming, that no other president has been open or willing to really acknowledge the Indian people like President Obama has done.
Okay.
Now, with the president saying that he's going to sign that U.N. Declaration of Indigenous Rights, really now the United States was the last major industrialized nation that hadn't signed on. He's signing on to that now. And
right.
There's different things, different talk about different things. But the point is, this president has moved forward issues and has been able to listen to what Indian country is saying. And not only just listen, but he's been actually been the one that's been acting on it by signing this legislation into law and signing this U.N. declaration.
And let's listen to Tracy with us from Nashville.
Hi, I just have to say I'm absolutely stunned that we think it's progress that the United States government is listening to the First Peoples. I think I've gone back in the Wayback Machine to 100 years before and 100 years before that. Listening isn't good enough. There may be Native American reservations that are doing well, but like Pine Ridge, where the average life expectancy is 45 years old, that's like Somalia. That's here in the United States. I think it's absolutely criminal. There's no more listening. Let's do something.
James Ramos?
No, that's right. I think this is the area that we start to look at when we were back there meeting with the director of Indian Health Services. These issues are actually being brought up. So they're listening, and that really is there's a time for listening, but there's a time for action. And I think we're moving into that realm for that action to be done so we can measure that. No longer can it be just listening to what it is Indian people are saying, but we need to put that into action. And I think we have the greatest opportunity now than we ever had before.
Tracy, thanks very much for the call. Could you tell us what tribe you're a member of?
I am not a member of a tribe. I'm actually a member of the tribe of Daily Coast, and there's a lot of Native American people who blog on Native American issues, and that's what brought it into my awareness. And I swear every day I have to tell myself, 45 years old? That's the average life expectancy here in America? I'm telling you, it's criminal.
Tracy, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
James Ramos, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you.
James Ramos, chairman of the San Manuel Band of Mission Indians, and he joined us today by phone from California. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News.